Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Remembering the wonders of the Lord, kind of sharing our testimonies, you know, about our personal experiences. This is, I call it that, our personal experiences when God poured out his presence powerfully at 3100 West DeSoto Street in Pensacola, Florida, at a church called Brownsville Assembly of God that Brother John Kilpatrick was pastoring at the time. You know, Psalms 177:11 says, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago." There's something powerful. Your faith gets built when you talk about God. I mean, when you get with somebody who talks about God with you and you're talking back and forth, the more you talk about his awesomeness and his goodness and what he's done and what he does, the more your faith and your excitement, your expectation goes up. There's just something about talking about his awesomeness. And we're just beginning to share that yesterday on BFN Radio, and you could just feel the Lord's presence, you know, as we were sharing. And could y'all feel God's presence?
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Just so powerful, because you're bragging on God. I mean, it's just all God. And I know that we're sharing about, you know, Father's Day 95 and what took place, and I believe there is a actual video available of that gathering that day when Steve was, remember I told you where we were in the prayed for?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just, even though God began to move that day, and it was a powerful move of God, that we still looked dead.
Right.
We were still dead compared to what God was going to do. And so often, you know, we can be guilty of evaluating or judging what God is going to do, but what's presently happening. But you have to understand, it's not that God's getting more and more potent or powerful or able. Mm-hmm. Is that you're seeing mankind's hearts get softer and softer and more, and faith level going up, and then God begins to move on them. Because you can see, we were in the middle of powerful move of God. Things are happening, and one particular man's, you know, shaking under the power of God, and things are happening, and right next to them is somebody that looks dead, like a dead log.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they don't believe. They weren't believing. So you see the difference. And when one man had faith and was desperate and hungry for God, and this other person wasn't hungry for God at all. They just wanted a religious experience. And guess what they got? A religious experience.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's all about that soil that we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
Two people could be hearing one message, and one person that seed bounces right off their heart, and the other person just takes it right in and just changes their life.
Exactly. Totally, exactly. One thing I want to talk about, something that happened that couldn't really explain it, you know, when God began to move, it's all I can tell you that he's just awesome. And you don't want to miss heaven, because you're missing eternity in his presence. And if that's just a taste of what his presence is like, imagine what eternity's like in his presence. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And so, but what happens, though, you find out, because we are spirits that have bodies. Have bodies that possess souls. That our flesh, you know, counts for nothing, Jesus said. And so your flesh will act up in the presence of God. It just, you have, this is what your body basically works. You have, you know, blood, you know, bringing oxygen to all the parts of your body. You have your brain that's firing off, you know, neuroreceptors or whatever that sends a signal through a nerve down to your muscle that tells it to contract or not to contract. And that's how things move. And that's, it's just, but it counts for nothing in the context. So when you get into the power of God, it's like your electrical system just starts to do some things, you know.
It starts to get fried.
You know, the electrical field of God. And it was a powerful thing. But I remember that, so everything that happens to your body under those experiences is not necessarily, hey, this is what everybody, you know, their flesh does that. That's just how that one person's body reacted to the presence of God. But there are other things that would happen that was pretty common that we refer to them as the holy crunches, where all of a sudden, you know, I just even talking about it, I could begin to feel them. But we were definitely in shape, because it's like the Spirit of God is just, you know, like in your belly and your, you know, in your chest. And when your spirit's just kind of I can't explain how it happens, but all of a sudden, it just contracts. And you're doing doing a crunch. A crunch is like a sit up that you don't, all you do is just lift your head up a little bit and you're lift your knees up a little bit, but then you tighten up your abs. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, for so many years, I probably had like a 12 pack. it was a lot of physical exertion, you know, in the move of God, because mm-hmm. it was just powerful.
It's manifestations of God yeah. moving.
Yeah, and you know, when you go through such a dry time, and that's the way it is with God. God's not gonna. He knows how we're made, and he's going to be a time where you're going to have to go through and trust him and move faithfully and begin to hunger again for him, where he becomes just like it talks about in the Songs of Solomon, that you chase after him, and mm-hmm. then you receive more, because even in the midst of that we'll talk about down the road, that, you know, people just became familiar with God after a while and took his awesomeness for granted, and here he's still moving. He's still doing what he's doing, and people are still getting touched by God, but those around, you know, tended to just like, oh, it's time to make the donuts. It's time. And all of a sudden you start seeing, you know, it waning, God's presence waning off, not because God changed, it's because the receptors changed, the receiving. And you see what's happening today, that like Brother Kilpatrick and in his presence ministry, and he's still, that's, he's hungry for the presence of God, and God's moving mm-hmm. in his ministry powerfully. And John Michael and, mm-hmm. and all the crew, that they just kept on going with God. And so that's what you got to do. Sometimes you got to let go of everything. Say, I want God. I'm not going to be tied down with all this. Everything's got to go. I got to have God. But all of a sudden, you know, in this, that I remember in the first days, we just came back, and the more that we went after God, and the more that we worshiped God, and the more that we prayed for each other, the softer we got, the more able we were to receive more of God. And it was like for 6 months, God just brought healing to us that was there, because we were just a whole bunch of broken people caught by surprise and by God. And we were just needed to be healed, because we didn't realize God was about to send the world.
Yeah.
And so we just soaked, and we would stay in the presence of God. It was so awesome that we would be in this building until like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And we were kind of reluctantly still would leave, because God's presence was just lingering and dwelling, and we're almost experimenting and seeing what God does. And I remember, you know, different things taking place. I'm not going to name too many names, but you know, people were going like, I just feel his presence dripping off my finger, and somebody would run like, pray for me. And it was just all this, we were seeing you know, what was happening, and it was just
the
God.
Energy?
Oh yeah, it was just charged.
Spends God so long, you would think that people were exhausted the next day. They just go to work and
yeah,
it's just
yeah.
like, where's this energy come from? Right. It's just God radiating all over.
Well, think about it. You worked all day, and then you worshipped all night, and you prayed until the early mornings of the hours. Yeah, worship early mornings of the hour, and then we would all go out, and several of us, and all over, you get your little groups or wherever, you go out. And you'd have breakfast at 4 o'clock in the morning at mm-hmm. some Denny's or something.
That's right.
And the power yeah. of God was still all over you, and mm-hmm. you were just happy, and it was just like no problem, not a problem in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't wait to come back together again
yeah.
For what God was doing. And this is the God that we serve.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. and with that understanding that you know, this is what we want. We want him, we want his presence, we want God. And this is who he is, but we have to go after him. And so in that, obviously, you know, Steve Hill began to pray for the people that were there, us, and which is basically the members of the gathering that was there. The local churches started gathering, coming together. And we saw, you know, one of the things that we saw was the ministers came from other churches, as we talked about last time. And that waned off quickly when they found out this may cost me my ministry.
Yeah, right.
And it, right. You think about it. What if they would have stayed? Because we needed tons of help. What if they would have stayed
mm-hmm.
and just kind of adjusted to God instead of, you yeah. think about it. Just, what if they would have, you just wonder, you know, anyway, be ready to adjust, by the way. You know, what I did was I sold my company. I'll talk more about that maybe in the future. But I sold my company because I wanted all what God was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have one man praying for everybody every single night after preaching all night long. And, you know, Brother Kilpatrick was always under the glory cloud. He was, no matter where he was, he's just like a rag doll and loving it, because you can imagine, you're so beat, you're so tattered, you're torn. I mean, he carried so long, he prayed so long, He dealt with, you know, the church for a long time.
Mm-hmm. A huge
lots of sheep bit.
A couple of men to hold him up. You don't want to fall on you.
Yeah, yeah. And his mother had passed away during that time, and he was just broken man. Mm-hmm. And that's when God began to move, you know, powerfully. And so God's just renewing him, you know, just laying and he's loving it. And by the way, don't rush God. You know, Tommy Tenney explains about it in the God Chasers that, you know, God's moving like that and somebody thinks, okay, now it's time for me to get up on the stage and start talking behind this pulpit, and God came and split that pulpit in two and threw mm-hmm. that man back against the wall.
Yeah.
Listen, it's sort of like saying when you're praying for rain and it's starting to rain, shut up and worship.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Don't get up and start talking about the rain. It's raining. Just thank God for the rain. When God's moving and he's there, what are you going to remember, we're all the same workers. You know, there's nothing you're going to say.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, don't say nothing now. Let's just worship. Mm-hmm. Pray for people, you know, they can receive God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but there was, so then, so you have, you know, Brother Kilpatrick on the floor or on the soundboard or somewhere. And then you have
orchestra pit.
Then you have Steve worn out. Steve's suits would be so wet. We had to buy him new suits every week or whatever. And I remember, like, his first week, bought him a big, he had to eat fruit to be able to stay energy. So I bought him this big fruit thing. And he was staying at a hotel at that time. And kind of like a whatever kind of hotel, of kitchenette and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what you call them. And, we're just following God to see what would happen, but he needed help. So they came and asked myself and Donna and a couple others to begin to have a panel where we would actually talk to people and kind of interview them about, hey, do you want to be on a prayer team? Where we would make couples, like a man and a woman or two people would go and they would pray for people. It pretty much ended up like, I'll pray this time and you catch. It's because so many people fell under the power of God. You had somebody back there to be able to catch them. And so we had that. Think about this. You know, today they have different programs out there where you see whether people talent searches and stuff, and you have a panel judging whether they have a talent or not. We had to have a panel to figure out how can we find workers who could actually work in the anointing and just stay up under the headship of what God is doing there and pray. So we began to talk to people and ask them, and basically we're interviewing them and hearing where they were and hearing where the heart. We had some powerful things. I may tell you about it in the future where we saw, you know, one of these particular individuals that had the wrong thing in their heart, and they basically fell dead.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so you understand, when God's presence shows up, his very presence judges sin. I mean, you can't, more of God means less of us, you know, voluntarily or involuntarily.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot between that. I'm going to tell about that in the future. But we're having, there's so much, God's moving, think about this, God's moving so powerfully that we had to have a panel.
Mm-hmm.
They begin to interview some of the members who are wanted to put in an application. Say, hey, I'd like to pray. I'd pray.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they did that, they would go out in teams and they would pray. This is what they would pray. More Lord. More of your presence, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
More of your anointing, Jesus. A refreshing Jesus. Don't pray in tongues. Don't pray 10,000 words over them. Don't pray what you think over them. Don't prophesy in their ear. This is all Jesus, brother. Just Jesus. And some people couldn't do that. He's like, no, this is not, just pray. And pray more of Jesus, more of the Lord. And that just opens things up because you don't need to add to Jesus.
Exactly.
And it was just so powerful. So now we end up with teams, you know, husbands and wives and friends that would show up every night and they would go through the worship service. And then all of a sudden the anointing that's on Steve, the second he would call in for somebody that doesn't know God and come to the altar, that you want to get your life right with God, they would just come running. They would just run, you know, and some people would get saved every night because there was such a presence of God. All you wanted to do was to be clean. You just, anything in this world, you didn't want anything in this world, no contamination. You know, you just didn't want, you didn't watch things. You didn't listen to things. You didn't hang with those. You just wanted to stay because you can feel, I mean, you just didn't have the nerve to walk in his presence anyway with sin.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just powerful.
Great fear of the Lord. Such an amazing fear of the Lord.
Huge fear of the Lord. And especially when I tell you what happened, how the person, you know, falls dead of cancer suddenly.
Yeah.
And but here it is. Now you have these teams of two going out, a whole bunch of different teams instead of just Steve doing it. And of course, Brother Kilpatrick was laying somewhere. You know, he was at the beginning, he would listen to the message, But as soon as, not sometimes, but not all the time. Anyway, he would be under the power of God. And so now the same anointings beginning to transfer that God brought through Steve and the labor of Brother John Kilpatrick. It's just pouring on others, and others are praying for people, and we're learning and maturing because we don't realize it, but the Lord is going to send the world.
Mm.
The world started to come.
Mm-hmm.
The world started to come, and he healed us first, and he began to work on us first before this happened. And who would ever thunk it? I mean, who ever thunk that? So just suddenly, and I remember Mark, I can't think of Mark's last name right now, but he's the tall guy that had all these children, and he's in the back, and he literally saw these angels at every door pouring out buckets of anointing, this huge buckets, just pouring it out over all the people, and this God was just manifest. He was just this encounter with God and man. And the interesting thing when you listen to Allison, and we probably pray that in one of these segments, is that, you know, the time is short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The one big thing is time is short, and here it is. I mean, prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes. Israel's weighing in the balance.
Mm-hmm.
And the church seems to be asleep, but I'm telling you, it's about to wake up. It's the true church is about to wake up. They're going to go after Jesus. They don't want religion. They don't want, you know, all that, you know, philosophies and traditions of men. They just want God. They just want this Jesus that we're talking about. Not another Jesus, as Paul talks about. He says, if anybody preaches to you another Jesus, you know, he says, don't even mess with that. And so, you know, one of the things that was happening in the beginning days of it was that we were soaking. It was almost, I could imagine if you're standing, you know, knee deep in a river, and it's a warm river, and so you feel the water moving. As the river's moving like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, literally, there was a river of God's presence that would just come through there, and you'd feel it. In the beginning, it was just like around your feet, and as it began to progress and it went longer and longer, it began to come around halfway up around your knees.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time that river got to your knees, it's like you're like rubber, you know, and you couldn't hardly stand up. It just turns flesh into just gummy,
yellow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's the river of God. You know, when you talk about the river of God, when you read Revelation, when you talk about heaven, there's a river that flows from the throne of God. You know, we can just feel this river of his presence. You can say whatever you want to, but you could tangibly feel the river of God just flowing, which means when you fall under the power of God, or you lay, whatever you want to do, you're laying in that river, and that river of God's presence is just washing over you. And it was just a powerful, powerful time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times when you're praying for people, but then when you're praying for them, if they weren't receivers, if they're like the analytical type trying to receive God through their finite brains, they were like ricochets. They were like, it was just all this that's coming, this virtue, whatever God's putting through you to them, would bounce off of them almost, and it would just come right back and wash back over you.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are praying for them, and they weren't receiving it, or they were having issues, or the soil was hard, whatever it is. But it would just come back, and it's like, you know, you just prayed for yourself. And there's times when, you know, you were praying for them, but next thing you know, you're out. And it was just amazing the things that would happen. And it was like swimming in the presence of God. And it's just more of God resolves everything.
That's right.
You know, more of God resolves everything.
Yeah, it was so wonderful, you know. A lot of times people kept going up to get more prayer. They'd go back down on the floor and get back up, go back down on the floor and get back up. Once you started realizing, I could just stay here, you know what I'm saying, and let this river wash over me, people started just marinating and pickling in his presence, you know. It's just
pickling
like,
in his presence.
That's good.
And all of a sudden, all that God is just washing all over you. And it's just so amazing how free you would just walk out of your sleep so much better. And you just had this amazing God consciousness. You just knew that God was always present, and you just wanted to be your right relationship with him, a right relationship with others. And anything that, it's like everything had to go. The only thing that mattered was God. And people were making huge sacrifices. I mean, people were just, rearranging their work schedule, leaving jobs. They were doing different things with their kids and their schooling. I mean, the sacrifices that people were making just for the presence of God was beautiful. And that's what happens when God's presence comes. You know, it doesn't matter about these other activities and your job and what's going on or sporting events. Or I was having some time with Tony last night. I was actually talking about yesterday's program with him.
And give a shout out to Tony.
Hey, Tony. And God's presence started falling when we were talking about it. It just felt God's presence. And I was saying that, you know, there was a period of time that my my TV blew up. And I went for 3 years in that period without even watching a television program. So there was a period I didn't have no grid on what happened in the world at that particular time as far as, you know, pop culture or whatever, just stuff that's on the news and stuff. All you wanted was just more of God. You didn't want any distractions, not one distraction.
You're talking about, you know, the sleep that you would have during that time that, of course, obviously, if you're doing the holy crunches and that type of thing, but it wasn't it's almost like when you lay down to sleep, I mean, think about it. You go into your house, there's no noise. Because there was a time when you would go into your home or your apartment or where you're staying, and if there was no noise, you would be uncomfortable with that. So you would turn on a radio, or you would turn on a television, or you would make something that made noise. But now you're walking and it's just void of sound, and it's wonderful. Right. And the presence of God is with you, and you lay when you lay in your bed, you lay there, and ever how you laid there at the beginning is exactly how you are when it comes time to get up, when all of a sudden the Holy Spirit begins to wake you up because you begin to ponder the things of God. And as soon as you do that, your flesh starts doing a holy crunches or something. But it's like you don't move all night long because you're in heaven. Nothing matters. And imagine that, you know, good sleep. Perfect sleep. But it started, you have to understand, and we'll probably make this available to you, that the outpouring of Father's Day 95 was a trickle compared to what built over time. And hard hearts were having to be softened, mindsets, you know, we had to deal with. You know, it's real easy for people that's been seeing things for a while to go, oh, this is wonderful. But we had to go from 0 to 60. We had to say, okay, all right, this is God. You know, because it was something that God was not doing anywhere on the earth. You know, and you know, Steve was very studied in revival, and this was always his desire to see this. He's begged God for this. You know, this is a gift, I believe, for God, for Steve as well. And so he educated us continually on different outpourings and revivals that happened. But he never did that. You know, that we would not have
no grid for it.
I would have had a grid for this. But, you know, it's just good. I remember that, you know, Brother Kilpatrick was, you know, to know him before this outpouring and to know him after the outpouring, he's the same man, and he's the same love of God and all, but he was such a reserved man. He was such a, you know, just a reserved man, very orderly and, you know, every detail of the particular sanctuary that he had built when he was there. He almost wore himself out making sure that every detail was right, that he had to take a month off to rest, you know, afterwards, because he wanted to make sure it was just in its right place and right order and sort of like Pat. Anyway, so but once, you know, God touched him and he experienced God's presence, that's all he wanted.
Yeah.
And that's all we want.
Yeah.
And that's why you look today and you can understand why his gathering is called In His Presence. You can understand why he's traveling and believing God for any travel. This is where you go. This is where you go. You go where there's hunger. And God will move where there's hunger. He's not going to move because I think I'd like this. Or I'll squeeze him in between now and I got to get out of here in 5 minutes. But it's a hunger for God. You know, begin to ask God for hunger in your life. You know, one way to get hunger for God is quit stuffing yourself on the world. I mean, can't sit here and, you know, and feed yourself 50 burgers and wonder why you're not in the daytime and then come home and your wife or your family fix you a meal or it's time for supper and you say, I'm not hungry. Of course you're not hungry. You've been eating burgers all day long. Well, when it comes to, you only have so much room in your heart. I mean, if you're going to fill your heart and your eyes full of the world, then you're not going to have any room for God. So why not think about, you know, hey, I'm going to fast the world. I'm going to just turn the world off. I'm going to begin. And I want to encourage you as we're going into 2013, you know, every year we'd like to take a time of fasting and prayer. And God just really speaks to us through that. and begin to think about, you know, I just want 2013 to be the I'm going to believe the report of the Lord in 2013.
Right.
I'm going to go after God's presence, and I believe that what's going to happen in the future is going to be all these other things on steroids, because God's going to pour out His flesh, His Spirit on all flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, His sons and His daughters are going to prophesy. Old men's going to have dreams. You're going to see the same anointing, the same love of God just happening. You're not going to be able to know it all. You're not going to be able to see it all, because it's happening everywhere. But it doesn't matter anyway, because we're fellow workers, so you don't have to know everything. But God knows what's going on and what He's doing in the face of the earth, and it's just going to be an awesome, awesome time with the Lord. Knowing this, understanding this, we're going to be talking about where I sold my company. I sold my company. In the midst of this, I had a plastic fabrication company. You know, Pat was working with me at that time. We were building plastic things and lots of things.
Yeah.
He's a master fabricator.
Was.
Okay. Yeah, was. And
was.
Yeah. And taught him so well, he started his own company. How to do the business thing, not the plastic.
He taught
me plastics, and I taught him business.
Yeah.
But I wanted more time, you know. I wanted just to go after God, so I sold my company. So the next time we talk about remembering the ones of the Lord, you're going to find out I just sold my company. All right, I just totally sold it and believed God, and God provided in a powerful way. And I believe because of these different decisions that I had made during that time, that it was all leading up to where we are today and leading us to where we're going to go tomorrow. Listen, we've been waiting for you. We've been preparing for you. You know, things are lined up. God, there's been men and women that have been digging trenches that God's about to pour rain in, and the church is going to just vitalize. And the things that the church was turned to and has turned to for substance and provision, you know, this money cliff is there for a reason. You know, it needs to go over the cliff if we made it God. But listen, those that serve God, those that love God, those that honor God, that don't rob from God, those that just go after God, you know, they'll never be so disappointed. You draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Because I got to tell you what, I sold my company, and I'm going to tell you about how John and I ended up in a hot dog stand, taking care of the church from all around the world. We spent more time, he and I both spent more time with the church around the world than anybody else did. We spent all day with the church in lines that were so long, they went around blocks. People that would get sunburned and they would get heat exhaustion, and we begin to feed them. We begin to love on them, provide. We're going to tell some awesome stories about, you know, what God allowed us to do. And it was, yes, Lord, we will serve. We had what's called the Lighthouse, and we were able to really take care. Okay, that's going to be coming up in a future story.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.